So this morning, I told you I'm going to have a two-for-one special this morning. You're going to get two for the price of one. Of course, the price is your time, no money involved. But I had a message a few weeks ago from Jason. I don't think he's with us this morning, but he had asked me a question. And, of course, I don't know how to answer a question in 25 words or less. So I told him I'd have to talk to him and as opposed to try to text the answer to him. And then I said, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to take a few minutes to answer your question on Pal Talk. And then he, at the last minute, wrote and said he wouldn't be on. So I said, anyway, I'll do that and record it and send it to him. So that's what I'm going to do. And before we begin our lesson on loss, which is number four, we want to, the question that came to me, and it was a very good one because it, I love it when I get questions from anybody because if I haven't considered something before or if I need to consider it even more so, it puts me in the Word. And so the question had to do with the use of the word technon and huios in the book of Ephesians. And technon is the word children in Scripture and huios is the word sons. And generally when I think of the word sons, and huios, or I'm sorry, the terms children and sons, I think immediately of John 1:12, which says, for as many as received him became the sons of God in the King James, but it's really the children of God. And then when I think of sons, I think of sonship, which we read of in Ephesians 1:5, and we also have the Mike and Diane on there with their Pal Talk name, which is that word, huiothesion, which, of course, is sonship and our adopted son. So you generally think of the word sons as a little bit more powerful word than the word children. It means something more. But the thing that he called to my attention, which made me have to go back and rethink this, is in Ephesians chapter 5. Let me just read the first verse there, and then we're going to look at all the occurrences of these two words in Ephesians. In Ephesians, and the first verse, we read this. If I can get there. Ephesians 5:1 is, yes, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And so you might ask the question, and actually if you read the next verse with it, well, no, that's all we have to read. You might question the fact, if we are sons of God, if we are adopted sons of God, then why does he tell us to walk as children? And if you look at verse 8, we read, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. That's technon. So why did Paul use that word there, not sons? Well, you say, well, we're in the practical section of Ephesians. Maybe that's why. But we're going to see in verse 6 that he speaks, in verse 6 he uses the word children of disobedience, which is actually the word huios, sons of disobedience. So now we've got to start scratching our head and digging a little bit deeper and try to figure out what the difference is and why the Holy Spirit chose that. And I don't think I can answer that question. I will address the question, but I will. But I think my answer will not be complete. And by no means will be the final say-so on the subject. So, real quickly, let's look at the verses in Ephesians where technon and huios are used. So, the first, Ephesians 1:5, is where we get the word son, only it's the word huiothesion, which is the word sonship. And so there we recognize the fact that there's something special about this calling and that God has adopted sons for this high calling. That word is used, I believe, four other times in Romans and Galatians, and there's an adoption there that's associated with Israel. So it's definitely a position. So in this particular case, the word has to do with a position and an unworthy position. I'll say that. I mean, we as sons are certainly unworthy, and he's included us in this hope and calling, and he has made us sons in a special sense, and there's a purpose behind it. So we definitely see a difference between that term and we would children, rather than him using the word children as John did in John chapter 1. So if we go to chapter 2, we find both words used in verses 2 and 3. I'm going to start back in chapter 1, verse 20, because this is part of the context. Context is always important. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all. And I'll stop right there and just make this statement. Now the focus is upon the Lord Jesus Christ in his fullness, in the highest, supreme, full position we read of in scriptures. And he's been put far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. And then he goes on to say that he's put all things under his feet. So that definitely represents a very high position because everything is subjected to him. And gave him to be the head over all. And he didn't end there, and he says, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So now we look at this aspect of our hope and calling in a different sense. Now we are blessed in him to that very high level that his fullness is associated with his church. So that leads us into chapter 2. And you hath he quickened. Those words are in italics, but they certainly fill the ellipses here. You hath he quickened, he's made alive, who, and this next word is in the present tense instead of the past. For some reason, all translators put this in the past, and I think they try to associate it with the context. But if you've heard Mr. Welch or if you looked at any of his writings, you will note that he notes that this is in the present. So it should read, we are dead, and the word in should be to. We are dead to trespasses and sins. And we find a very similar, if not exact same, verse in Romans, I believe, chapter 6, that this is translated that way. So he says, he's continuing the thought that we, who are the fullness of him that fills all in all, have been quickened and we are dead in trespasses and sins. Now he's going to tell us about our past. And notice verses in this next chapter, in chapter 2, the personal pronouns. Verse 2 is ye. Verse 3 is we. Verse 4 is us. Verse 5 is we. Verse 6, 7 is us. Verse 8 is ye. Verse 10 is we. All the way down through 13 is ye. And then verse 4, 17 is, I'm just calling this to your attention. And pay attention to the personal pronouns here. Because Paul is going to separate himself from those he's speaking of here. So in verse 2, he says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. He's referring to the Gentiles who have been called into this hope. You, in time past, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So now we have Satan involved in this verse. The spirit that now worketh in the Huios, not Technon, Huios, sons of disobedience. So now we've taken this word that we think of as a very powerful word or an exceptional word when it comes, and note that he speaks of these Gentiles in times past were sons of disobedience, and that's associated with Satan, and you might say with his father. When you look at the word Huios, I believe every time it's used of Christ, he's the Son. He's the Son of God. So we have to put it up against the fact that he deals with the Heavenly Father, and we have to put those two together when we think of Christ, in that there is a Father and a Son aspect of the Scriptures. So here in this verse, he refers to the Gentiles in times past as those who were associated with Satan. Now, in the Gospels, the Lord used the term your father, the devil, back there. This is a very interesting subject and would certainly is worthy of more attention. And I believe we need to get into a much deeper study concerning the seed line, or the word seed in the Scriptures, and distinguish between what God does in Genesis 3:15 when he speaks about Satan's seed and his own seed, and take that through the Scriptures and see exactly what that means. But here we see that these Gentiles in times past were dominated as called sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we, now Paul includes himself, we all had our conversation in times past. As Gentiles, Paul, believers, non-believers, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. That's the word technon, children of wrath, even as others. So now we've distinguished between sons and children in these two verses right here in the same context, and Paul takes us back to we're by nature. We're born in with an old nature. He's not saying that here, but we who are born into this world have an old nature, and we are children. He uses the word children. So he separates that from the word son, which was associated with the prince of the power of the air in verse 2. So here we see a little bit of right division in that we look at these words. Now, by the way, the King James is very inconsistent on how the words how these words are used, and sometimes they're translated both ways. You'll have huios translated son and children, and the same with the other. I've mentioned in the past the Revised Standard Version took care of that problem, and at least they recognize the fact that there's a different word there, and they use those differently. They use them consistently. So this is just one case where it behooves us to dig deeper in the Scriptures to recognize what the original says as opposed to what the English says. So real quickly, a couple more verses here, and I don't want to spend too much time on this because we've got a lesson that I'm going to have to dash through, or at least introduce in our subject that we're normally doing here. So in Ephesians, we'll finish with Ephesians 5, 1, 6, and 8, which we looked at a minute ago. I might mention Ephesians 3, 5. This is interesting. 3, 5 uses the word huios when Paul's speaking of the dispensation of the grace of God and the two mysteries, the mystery and the mystery of Christ. And in verse 6 he says, which in other age not made known unto the sons, and that's correct there, huios, of men. So I believe specifically he's referring to the fact that that truth was not made known unto those who had a distinct position and knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the sons of all mankind, but I believe in my mind here, he's referring to those who are believers, and that truth was not revealed to them during that period of time. So this mystery, this truth that Paul now has revealed, was hidden from the ages, and it was also hidden from believers in previous dispensations. Finally, Ephesians 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So he uses the word technon here, and I believe he uses it in this sense. If you think back, think back in your own lifetime. I think back when, as far back as I can remember, I've known the Lord. I mean, I witnessed it in my life. My parents were that way. That's all I heard growing up. I saw them live it. And so it was easy for me just to walk right into it, and so there are those who at a certain age came to know the Lord after maybe in their 20s, 30s, whatever. But in my case, I was very fortunate. But I do look back on particularly my childhood, and there was definitely a level of there was a period of time of great innocence where that anything that had to do with sin shocked me When I was introduced to the world, it shocked me, and it was like it almost scared me. And then, as I slowly began to become a human being, shall we say, and I learned what sin was, then those things weren't as innocent as they were. And this is the term that the Lord's using here. And you know, he if you recall, when he gathered the little children together when he was here on earth, and he made some comments about these little children, and he talked about their faith. He says, I think he said, unless you come to, he was talking about the kingdom, unless you come to the Father, and I'm misquoting this verse, as little children. He spoke about the faith of little children in their innocence. He says, you're not going to enter in. And you can totally recognize the difference when you were younger and when you're older, when you put all these things together and you have to weigh things out and whatever. There's definitely a difference. And so this is how the Lord says we should walk as dear children. We should be followers of God as dear children. The word is used in Ephesians chapter 6, 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Surely he speaks of those children who were young and innocent, and that was a verse that they were given under the law. And he says that same thing here. And he uses one more time in this chapter in that same sense when he talks about father to children, your children to wrath. So there you see that relationship between a father and his children. And this is what he's talking about here, I believe, in the sense that there is a level of innocence, when it comes to faith, and how we are to approach the Scriptures and our walk. So we read on in verse 6, as I said before, let no man deceive you in vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children, and this is sons, the sons of disobedience. Well, that's the same phrase that Paul used back in chapter 2 when he said, when he associated, when he said, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, this age, according to the prince of the power of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. So, he's referring to believers here. He says, don't walk in that way. So, this is how you're not supposed to walk. And he uses the term sons there. And then in verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light. I think we're getting into the subject of the Shekinah glory that Mike's speaking on. Walk as children of light. Once again, in that sense, that's how we are to approach the Father when it comes to our walk. I think there's another side of it. I think we should walk worthy of our calling. We are to walk worthy of that high calling, which includes sonship, which includes the adopted son. So that should be in our mind as well. But the Lord says here, I think he takes you down to the bare essentials of faithfulness in a means of innocence. That's how we are to walk when it comes to what we have been given and how we are to do that. So I'm going to stop that little lesson for the sake of what I was going to send to Jason. And as I said today, you get two for one. So that one, I'm only addressing, I'm not saying this is it, this is the final say on it. I would suggest that, there's 99 times that the word technon is used, the form technon is used, and not including some of the derivatives of it, and I think it's 362 times that huios is used. That's a monumental task to go through and compare every single one, which we have not done here. We've only taken a few in the book of Ephesians. So, of this high calling. Thank you for this group of believers and for what we share in Christ and these things we thank you now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.